Hey, Natalie.
Kristen.
Natalie, do you want to do a podcast?
Actually, that's all I want to do.
Oh, you're so cute.
Oh. Welcome to the Create Podcast, starring the legendary, the beautiful, the effervescent, the luminescent Kristen Hanke, and me, Natalie Roy. Her adorable...
I want to hear your adjectives. Go.
I know I was thinking that. Her adorable, stylish, mm-hmm. fabulous, lover of life, best friend. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it.
I think so too.
Should we sign off? Is that the end? And thank you for joining us this week.
Can I set the stage? Mm-hmm. So, it's a beautiful evening on the weekend. We're sitting in New York City. We're sitting in my lovely apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Which is getting remodeled, and you have a beautiful new dining room table that is, like, so sexy and wooden and, like, it's just real.
I'm being an adult.
Yeah, you're totally adulting.
Yeah, I'm adulting. I'm redecorating. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good about it all. And we just went to a little pizza stand in New York City. And we got slices of pizza and wine and dark chocolate. And we're here to bring you a podcast in the midst of all this joy and pleasure.
We've had a whole day of, like, easy flow work.
Yes. Well, actually, that's something that is interesting and probably in alignment with what we're talking about is, you know, we run this Create program, workshops, and this podcast, and we do talks, we do things, you know, around the world, we do workshops, and so there is some natural upkeep and some work and some things that goes into creating all of that. But Kristen and I love to take a stand that wherever, whatever we're doing, however we're doing it, it must always feel fun and it must always feel easy. So even on a day like today where we're putting in several hours.
We probably put in like 8 or 9 hours today.
We just make sure we take lots of breaks. We give each other lots of compliments. We have coffee. We have dark chocolate. We go for walks. We do all the things.
We take breaks for tarot cards. It reminds me actually of how you and I go for a run. Did we talk about this already on the podcast? How you and I will go for a run, but like halfway through our run, we stop and get coffee and like have a pastry and then we finish our run.
It's my favorite is when we're in Paris and we run for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then we stop for pain au chocolat, and then we keep going.
We're trying to infuse so much joy. It's not even trying. Our natural inclination is say, yeah, let's do all the things.
Right.
Right? And let's also make sure that it is sprinkled full of all of the wonderful things that we love.
And it actually does tie into what we want to talk about tonight. So we have been doing, as those of you who've been listening ongoing, we've been doing a series of podcasts on audience requests. And we had two specific requests, one request that we ended up dividing into 4 different podcasts. So if you want to go back and listen, there was a series of podcasts that we did on one particular viewer's request. Last week, we had an audience member ask us if we would teach on pleasure. And so that's, of course, our favorite thing to talk about. And we did that podcast. And now we're back to a Kristen Natalie chosen topic. And Kristen came to me with this reading that she had. And as soon as we were focusing and thinking on this reading, we immediately said, well, this is our podcast for this week because we love to talk about what's going on in our own lives. Mm-hmm. Now, this being said, as I give you the setup for this podcast, if you continue to have podcast ideas for us, nothing makes us happier because whatever you're saying, I want to know about, I want to hear about, I would love for you guys to talk about, it gives us an opportunity to explore sometimes a topic that we don't know if it's relevant to us. And it's really an amazing thing for us to see how that shows up in our lives as we start thinking about it and talking about it. So if you have a podcast idea for us, please throw it our way. You can email us at createwksp, so create workshop, but shortened, at gmail.com, or you can come to our Create Community Facebook page and shoot us your ideas, and nothing would make us happier than hearing what you want to hear about. But because you have not given us any ideas, we have an idea of our own, and here we go. Well,
there was this reading that I sent to Natalie one morning. I've been in deep in rehearsals for Clueless, which I'm having the most fun ever doing, but it's a lot of rehearsal. And on my day off last weekend, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to a little cafe. I'm going to sit. I'm going to have a coffee, maybe a little croissant. And as I was there, I got something. I subscribe to the Workaholics Anonymous newsletter because that is my drug of choice, is work. And I, part of my journey has been mindful about making sure that when I am doing my dharma, it is coming out of play and joy and pleasure and not a need to achieve or to accomplish or to try to prove any kind of worthiness or to get love from earning something. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I just try to stay in check with. And I know it is a lifelong journey for me just to stay mindful of really taking care of myself from the soul, from the inside out. And listening on a moment-to-moment basis of what is appropriate for me and how much feels joyful to handle. Right. Not how much can I handle, but how much feels joyful, right? And this reading came up, and I sent it to Natalie, and I was like, I have to talk about this.
And I also want to say, you will hear Kristen and I talk a lot in this podcast about taking a stand for pleasure and joy and putting your desire first. And the reason Kristen and I love to talk about this is because it's not necessarily our natural state. It's something that we have had to navigate trying to find, because I know for myself, not coming necessarily from a workaholic position, but I do come from a position where if I'm not achieving something, if I'm not getting a result, if I'm not getting a gold star, or if I'm not working hard enough that I feel like I'm getting love from you or getting validation from you, then I start to feel very guilty. So there's something in me that when I'm being relaxed, being in pleasure, taking it day by day, being in the moment, there's actually a guilt that shows up.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you sharing that overworking is a way that you can hide. And for me, hiding in guilt is a way that I can hide. And so that's why we want to continue a conversation about taking a stand for being more present, being more playful, being in more joy. And we come by it because we're trying to offer what we're also trying to learn.
Right. It's that we really want to integrate in ourselves energy first and coming from the spirit within. And the energy within knows what it wants and it knows what it wants to do. But as soon as we get attached to those mechanics of accomplishment or achievement or any of those kind of things, we can start to build a prison for ourselves, where we feel like we're trying to earn something, or it really is a scarcity mentality that will cause us to overwork or try to overachieve or get any kind of sense of self from the outer world. So that brings us back to this reading I got the other morning. And so this is someone's share that they wrote, an anonymous person in this newsletter, and they did a long share, and here's one paragraph in the share. The big awareness I had recently is I have lived my life addicted to pressure and productivity. Productivity has been the entire focus of my life, to the detriment of my social life, my health and well-being, my soul's health, my creative passions, my body's needs. I have lived the lie that my worth is determined by how much I get done, and no matter how much I accomplish and how long I work, day after day, it is never enough. After working myself to the bone for more than 20 years, I never ever felt that I was worthy. I realized that I have been perceiving life as a battle that I have to survive and prevail over. Therefore, I have been used to strategizing every moment of the day so I would make all of my marks and ward off the impending doom that I was sure was around any corner and was always threatened to devour me if, God forbid, I stopped or slowed down or did something frivolous. I call it the doom monster. My tactics have been constant activity, control, self-importance, compulsive organizing, micromanaging, future surfing, etc. Now I realize that there is no doom monster. When I was a child living through neglect, trauma, and alcoholic parenting, there was a doom monster. But I don't have to keep recreating that in this moment.
So the podcast that we want to bring to you today is the Doom Monster. And we believe that the Doom Monster can manifest in a lot of different ways for all of us, because all of our paths are unique. And there's different ways where doom or impending doom affects our present moment actions. And so we just wanted to bring some compassion and understanding of what it is that keeps us out of the present, what it is that makes us feel shame for what we are, that creates this constant striving or a constant hustle or a need for validation or a need for result or achievement. And I do think that many of us have grown up in a world or a lifestyle where striving is so valued that it's very difficult for us to unpack it. And the minute we begin trying to even stand for something else, the level of discomfort, shame, guilt, grief, not enoughness that comes up will sometimes make us say, it was easier when I was just doing this other thing, even if this other thing isn't healthy for me.
It's why I think you and I love Paris so much. All of a sudden we go to Paris and we have all of these hours just to sit and to be. And it's something that we don't almost give ourselves permission for in Western society. Like, we don't give ourselves hours of nothingness. It's actually, that's the feminine calling for itself. Give me space. Give me an empty womb. Give me the space where something can be birthed. And what I really resonate with in that reading is constant activity.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I find for myself, it becomes this like habit where it's like, well, it's not that I'm creating constant activity. It's just that activity is always happening. It's always coming towards me. Sure. I live in New York City. There's always a project being offered. And it sounds like fun or a party to go to or a thing to do. And I want to be mindful always that I'm listening within. Yes. Because I think that is the calling. It's not choose to do nothing because you're supposed to. We don't want to do anything out of the supposed to or shoulds. But am I in intimacy with myself?
Right.
Am I listening within to what is my truest calling? And where have I left that place where I'm not listening?
Right.
I'm just on a hamster wheel.
Yes, and it's interesting because I just had brunch with a family member the other day who also lives in New York, which was amazing. And it's always so great to connect. And I was saying, you know, I haven't seen you. How are you? What's going on with you? And they said, well, it's really interesting for me because I've just been working morning till night. And they came to New York because they got this great job opportunity. And when they came, they said within their contract, they had a 6-week a year vacation. And they said, well, actually, that vacation has been taken away. And the way the company operates now is you're only allowed to take vacation at the boss's discretion if there's not pending work that needs to be done. So it's just a really interesting thing because, for example, in Europe, I know that the standard is 5 weeks a year vacation. And for many of us, you're probably sitting here, if you're in America listening to this podcast, thinking, what is 5 weeks of vacation a year? I've never heard of that. And yet that's just standard practice in other places. So part of what you are potentially dealing with, depending on where you grew up, depending on the kind of conditioning that you were brought up in, is how dare you take time off, or how dare you take time that isn't productive or isn't making money or isn't moving something forward. And then in other places in the world, it's the only reason you do work is so that you have this time and this breath. And I know even in the community that I grew up in, there was this way that people would work Monday to Friday, and you would work really hard so that you would have these 2 days off on the weekend and you could spend time with family and spend time with friends and have a barbecue or, you know, visit with people and just be relaxed. And then it's back to the grind on Monday. And so it feels like this kind of hamster wheel where you're being not present for most of the time so that you can have these moments of present some of the time. That ultimately just goes by too fast. And even when you're in those present moments, you're just thinking about the impending Monday. So you're not really present because you're always just waiting and anticipating going back to work.
So there's
this real cycle of what are we working for? What is the integrity we're bringing to our work? And when is there actually even ever a moment where we get to be really present and relaxed? And I remember having a teacher once say to me, the best moment of your vacation is the day before your vacation starts. When you're sitting in your office or, you know, you're sitting at your workplace and you're dreaming about tomorrow I'm going to be on a beach. Today I'm at my desk, I'm under the lights, or it's snowing outside, or I have to take the metro, or I have to drive home, and today sucks. But because my vacation is tomorrow, I'm in the best mood ever. And the worst day of your vacation is the last day of your vacation, where you're sitting on a beach, you have a cocktail in your hand, you're in paradise, but your mind is already thinking, tomorrow I have to leave, tomorrow I have to go back to my life. So already you've left. And so there's this real interesting thing with workaholism, or with what are we always striving for, that keeps us out of what's actually happening in the present moment.
Right. What we're all deeply desiring is presence. We all want to be on vacation all the time. We really do.
Well, I actually think it's what we're here for.
I know it's what we're here for. And that's available for us all the time, but we have to let it in. We have to go, oh, there's freedom in this moment. I can either, in this moment, put myself in prison, or I can put myself in vacation mode or heaven mode, and it's completely up to me. And it's depending upon what is the mental mindset I'm putting myself in. I was listening to this Abraham Hicks video this morning. I like to listen to Abraham Hicks as I do my makeup. And there was a guy talking, and he was saying, I don't like going to my job because there's so much security. And so it feels like I'm having to go through airport security when I go to my job. And Abraham was saying something of the fact of, like, you know that your freedom has nothing to do with whatever setup around your work, right? Like, it's a mental construction.
Mm.
So I often think, whatever we do, it's the mindfulness we're bringing to it. So we can bring vacation mindset to everything. We can bring it to the podcast. We can bring it to the work we do. We can bring it to our relationship. We could also bring pressure and hustle and productivity or deprivation to everything we do.
Mm.
So it's, who are we being inside of our lives?
Right. Well, I know a lot of artists that really struggle with being artists because it feels like I have made a decision to leave the status quo, or to leave the 9-to-5, or to leave the life that I thought felt like a hustle that was just about money or result. But then they enter into the creative arts with the exact same paradigm, mm-hmm. and the exact same conditional relationship, which I always say is a requirement-based relationship with mm-hmm. your dream, where you say to your dream, I'll invest money in you, I'll invest time in you, but what are you giving back to me? And I'll go and spend money to, let's say, do workshops, or spend money on an acting class, or spend money getting new headshots, or spend money taking a writing course, or spend money taking a stand-up comic course. But now what's coming back to me because I've done that thing? Because the mindset I am operating from is I have put in effort or time or money or energy into this thing, and it, I require for me to feel like it was worth it to receive something back
yeah.
from it. And ultimately what it does is it puts pressure on the thing that you say that you love the most. And what we have learned as artists ourselves is that everything must be an act of service.
It has to be.
And anytime you are doing something with a required result to come back, and this happens often in romantic relationships as well, I will do this for you, I will give you this much love, I will take time out of my day to make sure you have this or do this for you, but what are you giving back to me? You better love me, you better think I'm a good person.
You better hear me.
You better hear me, you better listen to me when I want to talk, because I've already given so much to you. And what it does is it puts the same handcuffs on the people mm-hmm. we say we love, or the art we say we love, or the thing that we say we love.
Tally, tally, tally.
To give back to us. And we create this checklist mm-hmm. that creates a separation.
Well, and it's really funny because our art or our dharma came here to give us joy. Our romantic partner came here, like, it's in our life to give us joy. But we are the thing that has put it in the conditional relationship.
Right.
Which keeps it from actually being able to give us joy. So we can't be present with it. Right?
Yes. And ultimately, when we do that, we create our own doom monster.
Yeah.
Because we create a conditional relationship with something where doom is impending.
Yes.
And then we spend all of our time being upset that doom is impending, thinking it's unfair that doom is impending, or wondering why, when we're being so selfless and giving, that we're not going to get back what we want.
Well, I have a wonderful illustration of this. I had 10 years of directing and just giving myself to directing because I motherfucking loved it. I was a girl with props in my car and working till midnight or one or two on a set because I loved it. I just gave myself to letting stories come into the world. And not even because I wanted anything, but because it was something in me. I just loved it. And then I had the great fortune of having Rock of Ages that was like this incredible gift, right? The thing that people dream of. And that made me go, oh, well, it's going to be like that from now on.
Right.
But it made me double down. And when she talked about pressure and productivity, after that happened, and before that opened up, I had gotten to such a spiritual growth place in my life. I was really trusting the divine to work through me. And then that happened, and then I was like, oh, now that happened, I have to prove I'm worthy of it.
Right.
So I got into a relationship with pressure and productivity of trying to earn that I was deserving of that, and like really like just became a slave to working with the desire that it was going to pay off.
Right.
And I feel like the universe was so benevolent with me in that it said, okay, keep doing that. Keep doing that. See how well it works. So I just worked hard, worked hard. And what I found is like, I got really frustrated with this idea of, like, where's the payoff?
Right.
Why aren't things lining up? I'm doing all the things I used to do, I think. But there's, like, things aren't... I can't see the fruit. Pray, and I'm in my morning practice. I'm praying. I'm doing meditation. I'm doing all the things. Until it came to the place of, like, this is here for you to get joy from the doing of it. So if you can't be present and do it because you love it, and the reward is the fact that it's joyful, that's got to be enough.
Right.
And the moment that that's enough, the moment that you are doing something because you love it, and the reward is joy, well, that's when everything else comes.
Right.
But it was like education that took me years to go, I see. Conditional-based relationships, whether it's with your dharma or your romantic partner.
Yes.
It has to be, I'm here because I love this. And it doesn't matter what happens beyond this present moment. I was having this conversation with one of my Clueless cast members, and he goes, oh man, I'm having fun every day. I'm like, me too. And I said to him, I said, this is the gift. And he said, I know. The gift is how much fun we're having every day. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter what happens after tomorrow. The gift is what we get today.
Mm.
And if that's not what we're playing this moment for, we have lost the gift of the divine that is here now for us.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I believe we've talked about this many times before because it's one of the things that I have held on repeat in my brain to try to recondition my neural pathways is the Bhagavad Gita, which is this very ancient yogic text, says you are entitled to your actions. You are not entitled to the fruits of those actions. Now, that can feel like a hard pill to swallow for someone who is saying, I want to lose weight, so I am going to go to the gym and take the action of working out and burning calories. And the Bhagavad Gita will say, yes, you are entitled to the action of making a contrary action or taking steps to change your life. But what you're not entitled to is getting on the scale the next day and seeing any change.
Will you please tell our listeners about what your current regimen has been like? And I'm sitting in front of Natalie, so I can tell you she's never been skinnier than she is at this moment. And I'm telling them, I'm not even letting you tell them. She tells me every day, Kristen, all I am doing is eating pastries and having like gorgeous cheese and beautiful, like her current partner is a chef. So she sends me meals that look like 5-star meals. And she's like, all I'm doing is having the best meals, drinking wine and having all of the sex. And I've never been skinnier. And then she'll talk about how she used to work out every day and deprive herself calories and try to be skinny, and she was 10 pounds heavier.
20 pounds heavier.
20 pounds heavier?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
I really had this thing where I had it set up where it's what I call the rat race mentality, where I have deprivation in the present moment so that I will get to a place where I can enjoy a reward. And if I give myself enough deprivation for enough time, you know, so for example, I would have a cheat day, right? So there was one day a week where I was allowed to have a pastry, or I was allowed to have chocolate, or I was allowed to go out and have pizza or whatever the thing was. The whole rest of the week leading up to that day, I had to live in deprivation, go to bed hungry, you know, drink water when I was feeling hungry, and really earn my way into that cheat day. And so I was doing that thing where I had the app on my phone where I would count every single thing I put in my body. I would count every single workout I did. I had to go to spin class and be the first place. If I was second place in spin class, then like maybe cheat day would have to look different. It was very rigid, and I was very hard on myself. And the whole time I was doing this, I would get on the scale and like gain weight, or, you know, like nothing was moving, or the clothes would feel tight, and I never felt like I was getting the results that I wanted. And then even over time when I met someone who lived in Paris, and so I was taking trips, you know, every couple of months to go there. And so I started doing a similar kind of pattern, but now cheat day was once every 2 months. So, you know, leading up to seeing this person, you're going to look your best, you're going to do all the workouts, you're going to deprive yourself. But then I would, you know, go to Paris and eat pastries every day and not work out and do whatever. Now, what I started to notice in my vacations to Paris is I would come home after a week in Paris having not gained a pound. And I couldn't figure it out because it didn't work within my hustle, do monster paradigm. Mm-hmm. How is it possible that I didn't lift a weight, that I didn't go for a run, that I did not do anything but go look at beautiful paintings, stroll on the Seine, drink wine, eat baguette? You know, how is it possible that I could come home from a week of that and have not gained a pound?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out, but I would still come home and say, well, I did a bad thing. I ate bad things. I didn't work out. I didn't push myself hard enough. So now I have to come back and push myself really, really hard. Well, the interesting thing is I would come back and push myself hard, 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 and still the scale would say the same thing, or still nothing would change. So cut to, my partner comes to New York and you know, we're now cohabitating. And so now every day has become what the Paris days would look like, where, you know, I wake up and there's pastries, or there's a beautifully cooked meal, or, you know, there's coffee and snuggles and quality time. And instead of going for a workout, let's go for a walk in the park. Well, no, I'm going to not burn enough calories. I can't possibly do that, you know. And I can feel in myself this deep, deep resistance of, I'm not doing the right things. It's not going to be enough. I'm not going to reach my goals. There's no hustle in any of this. So surely I'm going to be punished for it. Now, the interesting thing is this has been going on now for like several weeks. And every time I get on the scale, it just gets lower and lower and lower. So I'm talking to Kristen today and I said, I can't describe the phenomena that's happening other than the fact that my mind and my spirit have changed, and so now my body is changing. My mind has changed from a deprivation state or a punishment state or a unworthy having to earn my way into results state into what feels good in this moment. And as a result, my spirit has had more space to show up and say, this just feels good. And all those happy endorphins and the serotonin and everything is flowing and you just feel joyous and you don't feel that restriction and you don't feel that tension and that resistance. And something has happened in the alchemy of all of this where my body has been able to relax enough where it has said, I no longer need to protect her because she's no longer abusing me. I no longer need to hold on to things that don't belong because she's okay. And for myself, what I have realized is the weight that I held was really a protection because my body didn't feel safe with me. I was not being a good steward to my body saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you pleasure. I'm going to stop when it's enough. And I'm also going to honor you and say I enjoy being with you. It's almost this thing of, I was listening to this Rob Bell podcast the other day, and he was saying, when people put you down, it's really not motivating, right? When people say, like, you're bad or you're awful, that doesn't motivate you to say, let me be better for you. But when someone says, you're amazing, I'm so inspired by you, you're doing such a great job, all you want to do is rise to that level of praise. So there's something about changing the relationship with your body where you say, oh, you're an amazing mechanism. You're an amazing vehicle that I get to be in. I just want you to be happy, and I just want to be happy with you. And I just want us to enjoy this thing called life together, where the body then doesn't feel this pressure and deprivation, and it doesn't feel so put down, where it wants to rise and meet you as well. And so again, I'm not exactly sure what the alchemy of all this is, other than there's a harmonious relationship where there's no scolding and there's no deprivation and there's no result to achieve. Because once you have achieved a peace inside of you of we're okay exactly where we are, then you've gotten a higher result than a number on a scale or a place to get.
Same thing with our work and our art and our career. Once we no longer need the money or the awards or the achievement, we're just having such a good time where we are. Today, I get to show up. I get to make things. I get to whatever it is. Even if you are like, I'm working a day job right now and it's not my dream, but how can you evoke what it is your gift is wherever it is you are? And when you start to be in a relationship with your joy, something starts to occur where you really are in a different kind of relationship with life. It's like life is waiting for us to realize that it's our playground.
Yes.
It's fun. We came here for fun. We came here because it's fun to be a human being and look someone in the eye and feel our own face. Like all of this is for us. And we have made it our prison, our jail sentence, our battle. And it's like the divine is there and just wanting to hold us and say, baby, I love you. Stop punishing yourself. And if you could stop punishing yourself, you could see how much I have for you.
It's almost like when I think about the doom monster, there are many manifestations of what the doom monster is for each of our lives. But I think someday is one of the biggest.
Yeah.
Someday, or once I have earned, or once I am this size, or once I have this much money in my bank account, or once my kids are old enough, or when this happens, or when I achieve this, then I will get to blank.
Yep.
The doom monster is the strategizing and the keeping out of the present what could be available right here and right now. And when we are so busy saying, someday I will have this, then we create strategies and practices and habits that support the thing that we want or the thing that would bring us joy being separate from us. When we entertain the idea that no matter where I am, what size I am, what amount of money I have, how many credits on my resume I have, when whatever relationship I'm in, when we say, how can I collect evidence? How can I open my eyes to see in the present moment, not the impending doom, but the joy or the possibility that is present for me, then we can start attracting towards the present moment what we want instead of always keeping it at a faraway future that we actually never live into, because there's never the amount of money. There's never the opportunity. Life keeps happening. Our body is decaying as you listen to this podcast. That the moment of power is always here and now. And the more we put it off, the more we create our own doom and then feel constantly victimized by the universe for not giving us what we want.
Well, if anyone's been listening to this podcast, they know I am on a Joseph Campbell trip right now. And I've been reading these essays where he really talks about how the divine is in all things. It's in this table. It's in this sweater. Or I'll call it Brahman sometimes. It's in all things. And there's this one great quote that he said, and I'm going to pull it up on my phone so I can read it because I love it. He says, I wrote it down in my journal, "The goal of life is rapture. Art is the way we experience it." So he talks about that when we acknowledge the divine in something, we have illuminated that it is actually a vehicle to reach God in this moment. And that's what art does. Art reveals the divine that is in all things. Well, that's what living can do as well. The moment we can be present with something, we have become one with the fact that God is here now, whether it's in this friendship or in this walk down the street, in this space across from me at the subway, in this moment of my life, wherever I am now at this moment, the divine is here. When I can be present to the fact that the divine is here, nothing is missing, and that allows the divine in this thing to be the gateway to everything that I think I lack because it's all here now.
Right.
So whenever we are future tripping, or, you know, in this reading, she calls it future surfing, right? Whenever we are putting it off, we're almost saying the divine isn't here. It's later.
Yes.
Right? It's not in this moment. It's down there. Like, so in a way, the pressure and the productivity is trying to get to our imagined idea of the divine later, when we're thinner, when we have the lover, when we have the money, when we have the awards, when, like, all of life is screaming to us about the nature of the present.
Right.
It's here. It's here. It's here. It's almost like if we can give ourselves permission to fully enter into this now moment, we will watch our lives be transformed moment by moment. And that is that vacation mindset.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the moment where you're going on vacation and you're so excited, But before you get there, you have the getting there.
Yes.
That is like the delay of the joy of being there. So like that all of a sudden having to go through security at the airport,
right.
having to get on the airplane, the flight over there, then the taxi ride or the train ride or whatever to get to the place, to the checking into the hotel or the Airbnb, to the like the moment of the relief, the pleasure, the joy that is on the other side of that, as opposed to going, it's all it.
Right.
It's all fun. It's all interesting. Every moment, there is the portal for transformation.
Well, that's why I like traveling with you, because no one has more fun at an airport. It's actually interesting, because I remember one trip we were on our way to Los Angeles, and we ended up going to the airport, and something happened. I don't know if it was a snowstorm. I can't remember what happened.
Snowstorm.
But the delays, I mean, it ultimately
8 hours, right?
ended up being that we were 8 hours at the airport, and then we went home because the flights just weren't going to happen. And then we actually decided, well, I guess we're not going to LA, so we ended up staying in New York. Like, we just canceled the whole trip because it didn't feel flowy and easy. But it was interesting how you could see people fall off as the day went on.
Yeah.
You could see people on hour one be upset, be triggered. You could see some people that were like, it's only a few hours. I'll have a glass of wine. I'll get my nails done. I'll hang out at the airport. I'll get a magazine. Then you could see people around hour three or four start to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could see people around hour five or six start to get triggered and upset. And it was really actually interesting to see that by hour eight, we were kind of the last women standing, where we were still having a great time. Because we were choosing to.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would it have been for us to go on vacation? Well, it's us spending time together, having communication with each other, being with each other, having talks, whatever. I mean, we can do that in an airport. We can do it in a restaurant. We can do it anywhere we go. So it's interesting to see where your mind gets trained on, is my happiness at a destination? Or is my happiness right here? And it's my choice where I put it.
That's right. It makes me think of Tech Week on a show. When you're putting up a theatrical show, you have this Tech Week where everybody feels like they're in a pressure cooker. There's very long hours. And if there's a show where there's lots of money, people start to, get tight.
Nervous. Scared. It always, Tech Week looks like the show's never going to come together, and it's 0 hour.
Right.
Like, the show's going to open in 2 days, but it looks like it's the worst it's ever been.
And it's always a wonderful spiritual discipline for me, because it becomes, how much fun can I have? And how much fun can I have no matter how anyone is feeling around me? Because me getting into any kind of pressure or hustle or needing to make someone else feel better or any kind of stress is not going to help the show. Actually, the only thing that will help the show is if I stay easy, joyful, light, and
trusting.
And trusting, right? So it's carrying that energy, whether it is Tech Week or it is a job interview or it is a tough spot in a relationship. How can I hold a lightness and a joy and an ease and that feeling that, like, you and I talk about this all the time, that this too will pass.
Mm.
And what is not important is what comes out of this, but who am I being in the middle of this?
Right, right. It's this funny thing of so many of us say, well, I don't want to take this risk in case it doesn't go my way. I don't want to be brave enough to ask this person on a date in case they say no. I don't want to ask for this raise in case I'm rejected. But the result is if the person says yes, if you get the raise. But if what you are more attached to is who you become in the asking, as opposed to what comes out of the asking, then you're playing the real game.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter if you ask someone, would you go on a date with me, and they say no. It doesn't matter if they say yes. It doesn't matter if they say no, because who you become in the bravery, the audacity, the open-heartedness of the asking is already the gift. It's all an effort to be in the present moment and know that the present moment is delivering the gift to you, and the future doesn't have the gift because the future isn't even written yet. And you said something earlier about future tripping, and this is something Kristen and I have been talking about a little bit, and so I actually looked up the definition of it. There's a few different ways to think about it, but this one website called thathummingbirdlife.com that had a good way of describing it, I looked up, said, the first definition is, we're too busy worrying about the future or the end results of a thing to enjoy the present moment. That's future tripping. The second thing is, we don't like a situation we're in, but we're not ready to make a change, so we fantasize about the future instead, and that's future tripping. Mm. So there's two ways that we future trip. One is, I hate where I am, so let me fantasize about something else, which actually takes me out of the point of power of creating change mm-hmm. in the current moment. Or, I'm so busy worrying about what could go wrong or be bad in the future, or so busy worried about the end result that I don't stay enough in the present to take the action that will make that not happen. So in both places, we actually cause ourselves a future filled with pain. And then how can we expect to want to motivate ourselves towards that future if the future only looks like it's going to cause us pain?
Right. So there's a new way to train our neural pathways. Instead of being a future tripper or looking for the doom monster, we can find ourselves in the present and being an investigator of joy here and now. Where is the magic here? I'm a detective of magic, joy, and opportunity in this present moment.
Right. That's what feels like the exciting thing about being, like, unfuckable with, right? Because if in the present moment, no matter what is happening, I can say, yeah, sometimes life isn't fair. Yeah, sometimes I don't get the result I want. Sometimes I don't feel seen and heard. Sometimes the apartment is messy. Sometimes my kids are acting out and I don't know what to do about that. Sometimes I don't know how to pay my bills. Now, I can hold that in one hand. In the other hand, do I have to hold, and that means my life is over, and that means I'm desperate, and that means I'm hopeless, and that means I don't know what to do? Or does it mean the other hand is free and open to say, and the way the sun is shining through those leaves is just astonishing. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend I can call who says, wow, I hear you, and I get how that must be really hard, and that feels so good to my spirit. And I have a roof over my head, and I have a creative mind that is available to come up with solutions, and there's a cute outfit in my closet I can put on, and this coffee tastes fantastic, and the way that flower is blooming is blowing my mind. So at any moment, we have this beautiful point of power, but it's only in the present moment that we can execute and activate that power. And if we are busy validating the doom monster, or moving forward to get a specific result, or trying to prevent a bad result that we don't want, we give up our power, and then we move into a future that gives us permission to complain that we didn't get what we wanted.
Oh, it's so interesting, and it makes me laugh that you talked about the sun on the leaves, because for me, that's always where I go. If I walk out of my apartment and I see the sky, all of a sudden everything changes. And I can be like, there is so much beauty in the world. Let me stay focused on the beauty that is here now. And I have found for myself, and try this out, don't take my word for it, but if you stay focused on the beauty that is in front of you, on the magic that is in front of you, on the thing in front of you that makes you go, whoa, whatever you might be worried about has a way of solving itself or revealing itself. Sometimes when I'm in the rehearsal room and there is something that I know I have to solve, like, oh, this scene isn't quite working, or this number needs something, I don't know what it is, I'll just go, okay. And my actors have been joking about all, have post-it notes. They'll go, you have all these post-it notes, but you never do anything with them. And I was telling Natalie, it's because I'll write down, like, a post-it note of, like, okay, this is asking for a solution, but I think all I have to do is write it down and put it, like, on my music stand, and it has a way of solving itself. Like, I don't actually even need to solve it. I can just write it down, and usually if I just hold it with enough grace, the solution presents itself.
And then you throw the post-it note away.
And then I throw the post-it note away.
4 hours later, someone else solved that, or came up with that, or it worked itself out. So I don't always have to be so busy anticipating a negative future and then coming up with ways that I can control and solve it.
That's exactly right.
I can just be present to it. And then let it go.
And that's it.
It's really interesting because when you walk into the door of my apartment, when you walk into the door, there's kind of a wall in the middle of your sight. And so on one side is the bedroom, and then on the other side is the living room. So you open the door and you can equally see both rooms. I had this moment the other day where I walked into my apartment, and in the bedroom, I noticed the messy bed that wasn't made and the clothes on the floor and all the things that needed to be done, right? In the living room, you could see my beautiful partner lying on the couch, just looking handsome and lovely and like everything I've ever dreamed of walking home to. And it was fascinating how my mind wanted to attach to the messy bed instead of the beautiful human being. Mm. And I do think that that's kind of the game of, there's a doom monster to chase, or there's a real present ease to notice. And at any moment, I just have the eyes to see both. And which one am I more invested in? Because if I'm invested in solving some sort of problem of my own unworthiness, or trying to prove my worth through result and achievement, my mind must see the problem to solve instead of the one that has already been solved.
So what happens this week if we can just give ourselves permission to stay with the present ease? In this moment, ease is here. In this moment, there is something beautiful to look at. And I will stay in the present, looking for the thing that is working and trusting that whatever needs to be solved comes with its own solutions. Right. And it doesn't need me to, like, figure it out or hustle or create pressure or get out of alignment. Because all great solutions come through an open channel.
Because we stop hustling to get somewhere when we really know that where we are is A-okay. Mm. The only reason we hustle to lose weight is because we think we're too big. The only reason we hustle to get more money is because we think we don't have enough. The only reason we hustle to get more credits on our resume is because we think people don't take us seriously in this industry or whatever. The only reason we hustle to go to every PTA meeting is because we don't want the other parents to think we're not invested in our kids. It's all a game to prove a worthiness that has already been given. You are already worthy. You are already made perfect. You were already born enough. You were already given every single tool you need for pleasure, for purpose, for growth, for joy, for desire, for love. And the only problem is that you think you don't have it, and you spend your life trying to achieve what you actually already have.
I don't think there's anything more to say.
So let us this week, instead of chasing a doom monster, or looking for a doom monster, or trying to prove your worth through work, through hustle, through any of these means that just have nothing to do with who you have to be on this planet, let yourself look in your own eyes this week and say, what if I already knew I had it? What if I already knew I was enough? What if I already knew that in this moment, life was for me? And there was something here for me that wanted my attention just because it wanted to delight me, not because it wanted me to do or be anything. Maybe if you just took this stand to see the sun through the trees, to see the look in your kids' eyes, to see the beautiful light coming in your window, to see the beautiful partner that you get to share your life with, even if you're mad at them, they're there and they're beautiful and it's a gift. And let's try to see with these new eyes. And I think we'll notice, instead of chasing a doom monster, we get to chase something so beautiful, and it's actually just us.
Oh, everywhere we look.
I mean, it's easy when Kristen is your best friend because she's very beautiful.
I can't help it. It's just how I was born. We love you. We see your beauty. We hold you in our hearts with us as we go through our week. You are part of the divine gift of our lives, and we know that we are all deeply connected. If there are things that we are saying that resonate with you deeply, it's because we are one, and we thank you for being on this ride with us.
And if you're working to train your eyes to love and possibility and things that are for you, there's a good place you can start. It's called www.thecreateseries.com, and we have some things for you there. We have a free meditation if you join our mailing list, and a free download of how to start a morning practice. We also have some meditations that you can buy if you want to start investigating some quality time with yourself. We also have a create video series that you might be interested in that really helps you take your dream from idea into reality, manifestation, in a way that is playful and fun and joyous and does not feel like hustle and hard work. And also, we are so happy to announce that we now have the very first Create book. You've been asking for it, and we finally got our shit together.
And we're really excited about it. It'll be available to purchase as a PDF off our website within the next week. So depending upon when you listen to this, check in with our website, but it will be up shortly. And keep tuning back in, because we're also going to be teaching in New York. So if you're in New York, we are going to be teaching monthly. We have a brand new space. We're not going to announce it just yet. We're going to be a little bit of a tease and say, keep tuning back in. And
we like to play hard to get, because we feel like you'll be more excited.
And, you know, we know you will be.
Yeah, so check in with our website, join our Create Community Facebook page, and we will give you all that information when it's available. But we want to play with you. We want to hear from you. Again, if you have podcast ideas or if there's anything that you want in a way that we can serve you and bring you pleasure and help you on your journey, it's our favorite thing to do. So come visit us. Come talk to us. And we love you so much.
We love you. And guess what? You look really cute today.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.T.E. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?